First of all, answers to last week's quiz. I know you've all been on the edge of your seats for the entire week. In short order, they are Bohemia, or the Czech Republic, the Alps, or the Bavarian Alps, if you want to be more specific, and, finally, Cornwall. Perhaps I need to expand slightly on that. The first piece. Was the river Vltava passing a hunt on its way down to Prague from Smetana's Mavlast? The second, slightly more difficult to place, was of climbers encountering a distant hunt during their ascent of the mountain in Strauss's Alpine Symphony. And the third was also a distant hunt, but of a more ominous nature. The opening, the second act of Wagner's Tristan and Isolde. So, to today. If you remember last week, I mentioned a horn that wasn't a horn in the conventional sense of the word, the English horn. And that, I'm sorry to say, sent me off in hot pursuit of an entire flock of wild geese. And here are the results. Recognize it? It's the opening of Mozart's last work, his unfinished Requiem. The bassoon comes in first, but what are the two instruments that follow? They sound like clarinets, but not quite. A bit too husky, maybe. And if you look at Mozart's autograph score, which you can see below, you'll see that he asks not for clarinets, but for two corni di bassetto in F. In other words, basset horns. And that's to be our subject for this week. Not just the basset horn, which I'll return to shortly, and not the generally established orchestral instruments, such as the flute, the violin, or the trumpet, but the byways and the overgrown paths of the world of instrumental music. The English horn, the basset horn, the crumb horn, the shawm, and the wonderfully named sausage bassoon. Of these, only the English horn has managed to achieve and retain a position in the orchestra. So let's start with that. Why is it called the English horn when it has precious little to do with England? And why is its generally accepted name cor anglais in French when it has precious little to do with France? The instrument, which is, of course, a tenor oboe, is actually, it would seem, a native of Germany. And its title is related to the famous pun of Pope Gregory, who, on spotting a group of blonde-haired, pale-skinned slaves, asked where they came from. On being told that they were Angles, he said, "Non Angeli, sed Angeli. They are not Angles, they are angels." And this similarity between Angles and angels, it would seem, applied in Middle German as well. So when the instrument was named the Englisher's horn, because of a supposed resemblance to angelic wind instruments, as depicted in medieval paintings, you can see the Hans Memling above. Because, colloquially, the word Englisher also meant English, a confusion arose. And that confusion was translated into most European languages. In Italian, it became the Corno Inglese, and in French, where the name seemed to stick, it became the Cor Anglais. Dvořák there, in his New World Symphony, using the plangent tones of the cor anglais to brilliantly meld together the African-American spiritual and homesickness for his native Bohemia. But that plangent quality isn't the sole property of Czech composers in foreign lands. Assimilating the local culture, sure, but still desperately longing for the smells and sounds of their native Prague. Here, for instance, is the start of an evocation of Bloomsbury Square on a cold, grey November day. The opening of the slow movement of Vaughan Williams' London Symphony. Don't run away with the idea that the cor anglais is entirely limited to melancholy and plaintive. Maybe because of its resemblance to some exotic pipe and its rich tenor register. But when it comes to the mysteries of the Orient, it has few equals in the orchestra. Here are a few examples. Borodin, in the steppes of Central Asia, observing a passing caravan from the east. Ottorino Respighi observing the pines of Rome on the Appian Way while imagining the glories of the ancient Roman armies returning from the east. Then there's the Moorish influence on Spanish music. Here's Manuel de Falla in his Miller's Dance from the Three-Cornered Hat. There are loads and loads of examples of Corongolais solos in the orchestral literature of the late 19th and entire 20th century. Two examples for you to look up: the slow movement of Ravel's G major piano concerto and the slow movement of Rodrigo's guitar concerto. Three basset horns there, playing a divertimento written for the instrument by Mozart. The basset horn has a similar position in the clarinet family to the corongolais in the oboe family. In other words, it's the tenor instrument of the group. But unlike the corongolais, or its nearest relative in the clarinet family, the bass clarinet, it's never managed to carve itself a permanent or even semi-permanent position in the orchestra. The word basset has the same meaning here as is applied to the small, short-legged, floppy-eared hound. It comes from the French bas, meaning low, as in pays bas, the low countries, and if you put an et on the end of it, it changes the low to lowish. So basset means rather low, which fairly accurately covers the range of the instrument, and indeed the small hound. Unlike the flute, the oboe, and the bassoon, the clarinet is a relatively latecomer to the orchestra. And it was Mozart, influenced by his fellow mason and clarinet virtuoso, Anton Stadler, who, by writing Stadler, a fine concerto and quintet, actually put the instrument on the map. And it's the concerto I want to talk about briefly. True, it's not for basset horn, but it is for an instrument called the basset clarinet. I'll explain. The basset horn has a similar relative range to the standard clarinet, except for the fact that while the clarinet's lowest note is an E, the basset horn's range extends two notes lower, from E, D, down to C. Stadler decided he would like these extra two notes on his ordinary clarinet, and so created the basset clarinet and the instrument that Mozart wrote his concerto and quintet for. It's truly amazing the difference that those two extra notes make. Let me illustrate with an excerpt from the concerto. Here's the clarinet without the downward extension, in the version of the work that most people are familiar with. here's the same passage played on the instrument that it was written for, the basset clarinet. Notice the way that, because it lacks those lower notes, the clarinet has to go screeching off into the stratosphere, thereby changing the whole topography of the passage and falsifying Mozart's intentions. Here's the basset clarinet playing what Mozart wanted. A world of difference. And there are similar examples throughout Mozart's clarinet writing, in the concerto, in the quintet, and in the important clarinet parts of several of the arias in his operas. You can hear one from his last opera, La Clemenza di Tito, in the concert below. One final basset horn fact. George Bernard Shaw, when he was employed as a rather pugnacious music critic on the Star and the World newspapers, chose to write under the name of Corno di Bassetto. Now we come to the last of the instruments that the lively medieval imagination thought looked like an animal horn, the crumb horn. Like the cor anglais, it's part of the double reed oboe family. The unlikely sounding word crumb comes from the German and Old English meaning bent or curved. I'm sure you remember the cow with the crumpled horn from the house that Jack built. It sounds like this. If you click on the crumb horn link underneath, you can see the instrument in action and why the word crumb, bent or curved, is entirely apposite. Another double reed oboe-like instrument is the shawm. Due to its structure, it has little dynamic control and is simply loud. Because of this, it's best suited to outdoor performance. I must confess to still bearing the mental scars of a performance of Beijing Opera, which featured a thunderstorm orchestrated by percussion and a whole rookery of shawm-like instruments. Hardly least as far as the oral imagination is concerned, we come to the sausage bassoon. It's also known as the racket and is a double-reeded relative of the bassoon. Perversely, despite its rather noisy-sounding name, you might expect something like a shawm, the instrument is rather quiet. Here it is. why the sausage bassoon? Have a look at the instrument in the links below, and I think you'll understand. And you'll also find a video link for the shawm there. And that's it. I think I've tried your patience enough for this week. Join me next week to explore more instruments, both inside and outside of the orchestra.